Turn back now to that passage of Scripture that we read together from Mark's Gospel. If you're using the Church Pew Bible, which looks like this, it's on page 1013. But we're looking at Mark chapter 5, and we're looking at this passage, which actually has two miracles recorded in it. And I want to deal with the two of these miracles, but I want to deal with one this morning and one this evening. About 10 days ago, on Thursday, we met for prayer, for tea and prayer. And in that session, I was actually looking at the miracle which is found at the end of chapter 4. And we looked at that question that the disciples asked Jesus, "Teacher, do you not care? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And in a way, in that story, in the story that we looked at last week with the man possessed by many demons, and in these two stories this morning, I want us to have that question in the back of our mind. Teacher, do you not care? Jesus, don't you care about me in my situation? Jesus, don't you understand what I am going through? And I find it wonderful that this chapter actually records for us three stories of people that we would so easily neglect or so easily avoid. Last week, we looked at the man who many today would describe as a lunatic, a man who is out of his mind. Scripture tells us that he was possessed of many evil spirits, but he was a social misfit. And we so easily avoid that sort of person, but Jesus had time for him. And the answer to the question was, yes, I do care. Today, we've got a story of two women. One, an older woman who has been ill for many years, and one of a child, a girl of the age of 12. And again, both of these, particularly in that culture, would have been dismissed. Oh, she's a sick woman. And I find this story interesting because we are told that she had what is described as a discharge of blood. We would perhaps use the term hemorrhage. And this woman, for many years, has been a social outcast because of this particular illness and infirmity. She was not able to worship publicly. She had to keep herself at a distance. She was not acceptable to many, many people. And for 12 years, she has lived under the pressure of being not only a woman, because in that culture, she would have been dismissed, but as a woman with an infirmity, an illness, a problem that made her unclean. And here she is. Don't you care? The question would come again. And by the end of this story, we will see, yes, Jesus did care. But in the story as well, we have a girl of 12. And sadly, in every generation, children are so easily dismissed. Kids, who'd have them? Kids, they make so much noise. Kids, they get in the way. They're a distraction. But Jesus has got time. Lord, don't you care? Yes, he cared. And this morning, I may not have described you, but you may be like one of these people. You may feel a misfit. You may feel as though you were rejected. You may feel as though no one cares about you. Mark has arranged these stories to ask the question, don't you care? and to come back with that answer. Nobody else may care, but God cares. Nobody else may care, but Jesus cares. Nobody else may care, but we as Christians must care. So we have got these two stories here this morning. And in effect, one piggybacks on the other. We begin with the story of Jairus coming to pray for his daughter, and Jesus is helping him out. And then as they're walking to his house, and we're not told how long a journey that would be, but as they're walking along, this woman comes. She doesn't speak to Jesus. She has got her problem, and she has heard about Jesus. She's tried all the quacks. She's tried all the different doctors and physicians that she could possibly try. And she said, I've heard that this man is able to heal the sick and to help those who have got problems. So I will go to him. She doesn't go to him and confront him and beg for his help. No, she says, if I might only touch his garments, if I might just reach out in the crowd and just, even if it's just a case of touching the tail of his coat, the edge of his garment, then I will be healed. And that is the way that she went to Jesus. And thankfully, her faith was rewarded. And as a result of reaching out, Jesus was aware that power had left him. And he turned round and he asked the question. Let's be honest, we would have been like his disciples. Jesus asked, who touched me? And we'd have said, come on, be real. There's hundreds of people around you. You're being touched all the time. But Jesus says, no, there was a special touch. There was somebody here with a need. There was somebody who reached out to me. And he then finds this woman because she comes to him. And they talk together. And as a result of their talking together, he pronounces this wonderful blessing upon her in verse 34. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Now, that is the story that we're going to concentrate on this morning. The story of this lady who has been a social outcast, who hasn't been able to go to church, is how we would describe it. She wasn't able to go to the synagogue. She wasn't able to offer worship. And feeling like that, she comes to Jesus. Well, I don't want to begin by concentrating on the woman herself. I want to begin by concentrating on Jesus. Luke's Gospel tells us quite clearly that Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to look for people who'd lost their way in life. Jesus came to look for people who perhaps had been rejected by other people. That was one of his great purposes. And yet in this story, he doesn't appear to be seeking. He has left one side of the lake to go to the other side for peace. When he gets across there, he finds a man possessed by evil spirits. He has that spiritual battle. He heals the man. And now he goes back across the lake in the hope of finding peace. He gets back across the lake. And what happens? Women and kids surround him. He cannot find peace. But these people come to him. They come to him looking for help. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So we've got these two people who are actually seeking Jesus. And as I was thinking about this week, I was thinking about that famous picture, I think it's worth millions, called The Scream. And you've got this distorted face, and it's the focal point of the picture. You can see two vague figures behind it. And if you look into the depths of the picture, you can see some outline of a city. But here is this person screaming, mouth open. And that's what we've got in Jairus and this woman. The scream, as a painting, has no sound. Neither of these people, in a way, scream physically. But Jairus's approach screams. We are told in verses 22 and 23, "Then came one of the rulers of the synagogues, a big man in the culture, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet." No pomp and ceremony, no formal introductions, no "I am the great man of this community, I would like your help." No, he falls at his feet and implored him earnestly, pleaded with him. Now what does he say? "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well." Every parent who has stood by a hospital bed holding their child, who has been up through the night mopping the brow of a child with a raging temperature, will know something of what Jairus was going through. He doesn't scream loudly, but he screams humbly. "I can't do anything to help my daughter. Will you help her?" God willing, I will look more fully at how Jesus helps his daughter tonight. But this woman, she doesn't even use the words that Jairus used. Verse 28, she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Silence. But she has reached the end of her tether. "I can't do any more. I've tried everybody. I've tried everything. Please, please, I need help." This morning, perhaps you fit into one of these categories. You're screaming because no one seems to be able to meet you where you are. Perhaps you're a parent here this morning, or a relative, and you are screaming for your child who's gone off the rails. You're screaming for a parent who you can see is ruining his or her own life. Friends, we cannot be saved for anybody else. We cannot save anyone else. But this story and the story of the paralyzed man in chapter 2 tells us that we can pray for other people. We can bear the burdens of those around us who we know are destroying themselves or being destroyed by the effects of sin. Jesus is here concerned. Jesus hears. Where are you this morning? Do you, like this woman, carry a burden? Maybe a physical one. And if only I could get rid of that problem in my life. Is it a mental one? No peace. Your thoughts scramble and fight. You're pulled in 1,000 different directions. Lord, how do I find peace in this situation? Maybe there are emotional problems. And you just cannot cope with what life is throwing at you. That is where this woman was. Maybe there are relational problems. And you feel like our Lord Jesus Christ was, and like this woman was, despised and rejected of men. People pass you. People don't want to talk to you. People avoid you. And you're screaming. You may not be doing it verbally, but within you, there is that open mouth with people around you, and nobody can hear what you are going through. You feel as though you're losing absolute hope. And no one is able to address your problem. I want to say to you this morning, scream, because Jesus is listening. Don't worry about the words. Don't worry about the formality. Just scream. But let's look at this woman's faith. It's not a polished faith. It's not a faith that would stand up in the academy or in the place of study. I've described it as a frightened faith. We are told that this woman had spent money on doctors and she had come to the end of her resources. We think we've got economic problems in Europe at the moment. She knew the reality of this. Now maybe I need to pause there. Maybe this is your situation. You thought that money could buy you love, as the old song said. You thought that money could buy you peace. You thought that if you got yourself established, then everything would be all right. But it's not. And you, like this woman, are strapped for cash. And you think, how am I going to get out of this situation? If faith could be registered on a thermometer, the mercury would hardly have moved in this woman's thermometer. She was desperate. I've tried everything. I will try him. But she would fit into what the scriptures describe as little faith. Friends, I want you to look at what's happening in this story. This woman was so desperate. Her faith was so frightened. Her faith was so limited that she wasn't even prepared to ask Jesus, like Jairus did, will you help me? She was afraid that if it failed, once again, she would be embarrassed. And maybe even Jesus would be embarrassed. Because he'd been shown up to be insufficient. That's where she was. Are you there this morning, friends? Desperate. Desperate. What can help me? Who can help me? No one can help me. She had what I've described as frightened faith, or what the Bible describes as little faith. You read the Gospels and you will find that Jesus helped many people who had little faith. We live in an evangelical world that is full of libraries, that has got access to the internet, and to sermon downloads, and anybody and everybody can argue or put forth their ideas. But where is faith today? Where is faith? This woman, like Peter, sinking as he walked on the water, is described as ye of little faith. The disciples in the storm, in chapter 4, Jesus turned to them and said, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? And so you can go through the Gospels, and Jesus says, you of little faith. Have you got little faith this morning? Are you frightened to trust Jesus? Join the club. Join all of us, because that's how we came. Nothing to offer Jesus. Jesus said on one occasion, because of your little faith, truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Friends, do you have little faith this morning? Faith that is prepared simply to reach out and to throw your problems on the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, a man who made many mistakes, towards the end of his life, wrote a number of letters. And in the first one he says, casting all your care on him, because he cares for you. Don't you care, Lord? Yes, I do care. And he says to you, trust me. Trust me. How did Jesus respond to this woman? Well, he did what he came to do. He sought out this woman. And her faith, her little faith, was fulfilled. It was fulfilled in two ways. Because Jesus sought her. Jesus looked for her. The woman had one desire in her life. And that was that this chronic problem, this chronic illness which prevented her from being a proper member of society, might be dealt with. I want you to notice in this story this morning, there is no mention in this woman's life about sins that she needs to repent of. There is no mention of heaven and of eternity. And yet so often in evangelical preaching, that is what we emphasize. You must repent of your sins. It's not mentioned here. This woman is not conscious of her sin. All she is conscious of is her needs. And she goes to Jesus. And she reaches out to Jesus. And when she touches Jesus, Jesus turns to her. Jesus seeks her. Jesus speaks to her. She has come to the end of herself. It was John Flavel who said, man's extremity is God's opportunity. Friends, you might be at the end of yourself this morning, and you don't know what you're going to do next. Reach out to Jesus. Don't worry about being like other people. Reach out to him with the needs that you have. Why did Jesus turn around? Why did Jesus say, who touched me? Why did Jesus seek this woman? I believe he sought this woman for a very definite reason. Later on in this chapter, in this gospel, Jesus heals a blind man. And we're shown two stages of that healing. We're told that Jesus began the process and he said to the man, what do you see? And he said, I see men and they're like trees walking. The miracle wasn't complete. And Jesus went further And Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus doesn't want this woman to be walking around partially dealt with. Jesus doesn't want you walking around with a bit of religion, because you'll end up seeing men as trees walking. I want to go back to last week's story as well. And remember, I dealt with the man who said that he had many spirits within him. His name was Legion. Between 3,000 and 6,000 is what would make up a legion. We don't know how many there were within him. But he had a huge problem. And I drew attention to the fact that we can have religion. And we can say, I've made a mess of my life. I've got to stop doing that. I've got to get rid of that out of my life. And I've got to start doing this. And when we do that, Jesus says, it's like throwing out an evil spirit. The evil spirit wanders around, and it doesn't find anywhere to rest. So it comes back to the person in whom it was once living. But it doesn't come on its own. It comes with seven others. And so it goes on and on and on and on. Friends, this morning, if you are like this woman, and you've tried to reach out to touch Jesus, if you are like the man possessed of evil spirits, but you have never really had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to listen to what happens in this story. Jesus sought this woman because he didn't want her stuck in a religious experience. And let me ask you this morning, friends, is that where you are? Are you stuck in a religious experience? Or do you have living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Who touched me? This woman was sought by Jesus, but then she was saved by Jesus. And we read in verse 33, but the woman, knowing what happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. We're not given details, friends, but these are wonderful words. We don't know why she had hemorrhaged for so long. We don't know what the quacks or the magic men had said to her. But she came to Jesus and she told him everything. And what does Jesus say? He says some of the most wonderful words that have ever been heard in the world. He says, daughter. He looks at her. A woman rejected by society. He doesn't look and say, women. He looks at her. He focuses on her. And this morning, friends, God the Holy Spirit sees us as a church, as one body. But he also sees you. And he says, daughter. He says, son. Are you listening? There is only one man in the world to whom I can say, son. It's a special relationship. And that is what God is doing here. He is singling out this woman. And he's saying, yes, I do care. I care about you. I care about the real issues that are bothering you. But I care even more than you think I care. And he says these wonderful words. Your faith has made you well. The words could be translated, your faith has saved you. It's not simply the hemorrhage, the physical needs. But the word made you well, saved you, has a spiritual application to it. Friends, none of us are saved for our merits. None of us are saved because of our education. None of us are saved because of our accumulation of wealth. All of us can only be saved if we come in trust. Nothing, absolutely nothing, do we offer God, because that's all she had, was her fingertips. And he said, your faith has made you well. Let me ask you this morning, friends, what are you trusting? Who are you trusting? If the answer to those questions is anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for me, then you've got no hope. This woman stretched out in faith, and Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Everything, do you hear this? Everything in the past that has kept you away from God has been dealt with. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Do you believe that, friends? Everything that you are guilty of, if you stretch out and put your faith in Christ, it has been dealt with. You are saved from the consequences of it. But Jesus doesn't just leave her there. He says, go in peace. Paul writes in Romans, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This woman had been to many quacks, and they'd said, yep, you're cured. And she had got rid of all that she needed to get rid of because of her problem. And she woke up the following morning, and it was still there. But this was different. This was different. Go in peace. You don't have to worry about the past failures. You don't have to worry about the other people who have let you down. I have got the authority, Jesus said, to give you peace. A peace that passes all understanding. A peace that cannot be described. A peace that says it's all been dealt with. This woman would have walked away in that crowd thinking, oh, I hope it's worked this time. But she didn't have to. And we can know that peace. Again, Paul says to us, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. Does the Holy Spirit tell you this morning that with all your failures, with all your rejection by other people, because you have come to Christ in faith, then you are his? Oh, I beg that God would give you that peace this morning. Because this woman left Jesus that day at peace with God, saved, knowing that she was healed of her past diseases. I want to say to you this morning, friends, if you come in faith to Christ, you don't have to worry that one day God will somehow say, but don't forget that. You've got to pay for that. No. It has been dealt with. You have been saved. So as I draw to a close this morning, I don't believe that we have the freedom to tell every believer that their sicknesses will be dealt with. If I was to do that this morning, I would drive many of you into depression. But I am under an obligation to tell you that all of your sin, the sins of the past, the sins that you are struggling with today, the sins that you may face in the future, have been dealt with by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come this morning? Will you come with little faith and reach out so that Christ might be able to say to you, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Amen.